talking, cause you know we got some problems. So tune on in the way we talk and how to solve them. We may laugh, we may learn, we might be your games, Miss MP.
All right, Lady Balls, before we dive into the episode, I have to tell you guys about a product that I've been using every day. I started taking AG1 because I was always forgetting to take my vitamins and pills, and it was getting expensive buying them all just to throw them out once they were expired. But I wanted to strengthen and support my immune system and have more energy. And that's where AG1 came in. With one delicious scoop of AG1, you're absorbing 75 high quality vitamins, minerals, whole food source ingredients, and probiotic to help you start your day off right. This special blend of ingredients supports your gut health, your immune system, your energy, recovery, and your focus. AKA, all the things that are important for athletes. Plus, bonus is actually affordable and cheaper than buying all those supplements. Not to mention, it tastes good. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is giving you a free 1-year supply of immune supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/soccergrl. Again, that's athleticgreens.com/soccergrl to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance.
Hi.
I'm Michelle. How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Good. Where are you right now?
My apartment. I'm trying to get like good lighting in here or something. It's so dark.
Don't even worry. We look like this every day. We're like in sweats and just.
So what's going on? So are you guys, do you have like a break now? Are you ready?
Yeah. No, yeah, we're off until preseason in February.
Nice. That's a
What are you going to do with your off time? Are you going to be working or are you going to be relaxing?
Yeah, I mean, I'm still in Houston working at my lab for a little bit. And I'll travel a little bit, like go home and stuff. But for the most part, I think I'll just stay in Houston. And it's just nice because we have like the facility here and everything. So it's kind of just like really easy.
I used to love that. Like in the summer or winter when we'd be in college and you'd have like everything right there.
But, like, yeah.
Like a, you know, not a cheat sheet, but like a step up and you had it all. So that's nice.
Right. Exactly.
So tell us about the season. How was it? How was the team this year? What are your hopes for next season?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, this season, I mean, it was kind of a whirlwind. Like, we had so many changes, and obviously a lot of it was out of our hands, but it was really exciting and it was really fun. And I feel like the team as a whole grew together, and I feel like I grew a lot as an individual. And I mean, it was pretty rough. Like, we had a pretty poor Challenge Cup run. And so starting off the season with that, it didn't go kind of as planned, but, you know, we kind of like had steady steam going through the beginning of the season, even with the coaching change and everything. And so that was really cool. I just love the group this year. We really stuck together, and I think that was really amazing. And obviously, you know, finally breaking the Houston curse, we would call it, and making playoffs was everything for us. And I'm only looking forward to like building on that next year and getting further in playoffs and doing better in the Challenge Cup. Yeah.
How do you, like you said in the beginning, you guys had a rough time to start. How, as a team, do you not let that affect your full season?
I mean, I feel like at the end of the day, like, the team really is the players, and obviously the coaching staff has a big, you know, role in how we play and stuff like that. But at the end of the day, like, if you don't have the group of 20 some players playing cohesively, then it doesn't matter who the coaching staff is. It doesn't matter who, you know, any of the additional staff is, because the players aren't playing together. So I feel like, you know, we always just like met and realized that, you know what, no one in the circle really truly matters at the end of the day. Like, there can be all these changes, but as long as us as a circle are together, then that's really all that matters. And we have each other at the end of the day if no one else does.
I also feel like hitting a peak very early, like at the Challenge Cup, is very hard to hang on to that rally all season. I feel like that puts like a huge amount of pressure on a team too. So that technically is not the time when you're supposed to hit your peak. So
fair enough. Yeah.
You know, so being able to ramp up all season totally makes a big difference. But what did it mean, obviously, making playoffs was great, especially when it's happened so many times where it starts to, you start calling it a curse and everything like that. But what did that feel like to finally break into playoffs? And was that like I'm sure that was a victory in itself for your team and everything and team morale. But how do you guys hope to build off that in the next season?
Yeah, I mean, at first it was like amazing when we saw that, you know, everything was in our hands to make playoffs. But I think it was the game that we ended up tying to Washington where it kind of got a little sketchy. And it was kind of like, oh, if this team wins, if this team ties. And we were like, dang it, like, why did we put ourselves in this position when all we had to do was like handle our business? But then, you know, when things thankfully worked out how they were, we were really happy. But at the end of the day, even though we were happy that we made playoffs, we didn't want that to just be like our goal. Like, it was awesome, obviously, finally making history for the club. But we wanted to like win the next game, win the next game, and win the next game. Like, and so I feel like we as a group will really just build off of that next season. And obviously, like, it's just like, making playoffs isn't like that amazing. Like, everyone wants to win playoffs. Like, it doesn't really matter until you have the trophy at the end of the day. Otherwise, it's just another game. So I feel like that's really how we would build off of it for next year.
Yeah, absolutely. And from reading and just hearing all about you, it seems like you're like the queen of multitasking. Can you tell us how you do that? Because most people can't play on one team and then like watch Netflix and it's still too much. So how do you balance that? How do you balance being on your national team, playing on this team, and working?
I mean, I feel like everything kind of just like stumbled in place, honestly. So, I mean, I got the lab job with Dr. Stevens before I even signed a contract with Houston, because I was just a trialist player last year. So that wasn't even guaranteed. So I was like, oh, I need something. And so then when I finally signed with Houston, I was so excited. But then, you know, I mean, I just have this passion also for medicine. And I feel like I've had that ever since I was younger. And so I kind of knew that I didn't want to completely put it on the back foot. Especially like now being 25 and stuff, I like really wanted to make sure that I maintained that space in medicine. And so when I kind of just explained the situation to her, like, honestly, I love Dr. Stevens and she's just so understanding and loves the fact that I want to do both. And she kind of allowed me to work around my schedule, which a lot of jobs, you know, wouldn't be able to do, especially in the medical field. So super thankful for her for just being super gracious and lenient with when I could come in or if we have like, I made the roster, so now I'm gone for 3 days. Like, she just made it very possible for me to still just work in the lab. And then when I got the call up to the national team, I think mid season last year in the summer series, that was just another one. And I was just like, oh, I'm so sorry, Dr. Stevens, but now I might be gone for like a month for AFCON. And she was like, okay, but like, congratulations, I'm really happy for you. But again, she just made it work. And honestly, it's, at the end of the day, it's just like all blessings. Like, I'm really just like truly living my dream right now. And I always think of it like me at 14 is like, Michelle, you're doing what at 25? Like, what do you mean? You're like with the national team now, and like making your parents so proud and like still in the medical field and playing professionally. Like, it honestly is just surreal. So I feel like I'm just running on a high, honestly.
It's so wonderful, and it's cool that you have a boss that is able to work with you on it, because as athletes know, even in college, if you had to miss something, if you had to miss class, like, they gave you so much shit. But that is so amazing, and it just makes me think, like, you make it sound so easy, but has there ever been a time where you felt overwhelmed and you're like, what am I doing? Is this too much on my plate as a professional athlete? Like, do I have to eventually choose between both at this time or in this chapter of your life?
Yeah, definitely. Actually, at the end of last year, I remember having a conversation with Dr. Stevens, my boss at the lab, and telling her that I felt really burnt out. And I mean, that was like after finally making the national team, having my first pro contract and working in the lab. And she just wanted me to like be happy. So she was like, if you need to work at home, work at home. If you like want to step away, just like let me know. And I feel like just having, being able to have that open conversation with her and being really like realistic and honest about just being like just so tired mentally and obviously physically was very helpful. And I think when you have people that you work for that are like above you, like support you, even if it's kind of like not to their benefit, like it's solely for me, then it like makes you like still want to be in that environment, even if you like don't feel 100%, if that makes sense. So I feel like, yeah, I realized that last year, and this year I made like a way better schedule to where I haven't thankfully felt burnt out and have been able to like really make that work.
Must be so nice to have those relationships where someone like her, your boss there, like understands. And you, like you said, it's mostly for you, but I think it's also for her. She probably appreciates and sees what a hard worker you are. So you don't want to lose someone like that, that's special. So it's really nice to have that open communication, because you don't want to feel that like gut feeling like, oh, I have to tell them this. So like, I'm going to miss something. Like just being able to have an open conversation and honest conversation is so good, which goes for any of our listeners. If you're playing in high school and you're balancing more than one sport or a part-time job, or you're in college, same thing. Like it's so good to have those conversations so that you don't have to feel the worry of
playing
it and be like, uh-oh, I'm going to be away for a month on the national team. Like, what am I going to do? So it's nice that you have that. Can you, I mean, we know what you do, but can you explain to our listeners what your work at the lab is? Cause it's so interesting to us.
Yeah. I work in a pediatrics and oncology lab. And we specialize with mice, and basically my doctor has patients that she sees that have this certain cancer called AML, which is acute myeloid leukemia, and it's very prevalent in children under 18. And so whenever they get diagnosed with this AML cancer, we try to like induce it in mice and see how we can get a cure. And it's honestly very, it's very like humbling. It makes me feel like I have like a purpose, like I'm really trying to like help and cure, these children's cancers. And yeah, it's really amazing. Honestly, it opened my eyes a lot, to the medical field, and yeah, I'm truly blessed to be able to do it.
Does that ever make you put things into perspective in life, like with soccer, that maybe if you didn't have like the best practice or game, like then you see things like that with children who have leukemia or working in a hospital? Like, I don't know. I feel like then I would be like, this practice isn't that big of a deal.
Mm-hmm. No, 100%. There was actually this sweet child that my doctor had who was a huge fan of Dash, and unfortunately she passed away, but I just remember like, I gave her like my jersey and it was signed and like made her life. And it's like crazy how much of an impact you can have on someone when you think that they're like honestly going through hell, you know, and it's just like something so small like that can like make their lives. And it's like really me firing a ball over the crossbar. Like literally it doesn't matter. And I can get better and do that tomorrow, but there's just these bigger things that are way more important and have like more of a lasting impact on you.
It's amazing. I feel like you're so wise beyond your years. Like you're, and I think it's because you're working in that field and you're seeing these things firsthand and you're learning all the lessons that, you know, we wish, and older people are probably wishing that they really just appreciated the present and put things into perspective. Like you said, a bad game is not, it's nothing compared to like actually being healthy and living a healthy life. And, you know, it's just amazing. So thank you so much for what you do, because it's a grind. Oh, it's a grind, and you deserve like a round of applause. So did you know that you always wanted to do this? Did you like, what did you study in college? And did you know, okay, did you know you wanted to play pro, or did you want to go more into this? And then like, just talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, in college, I majored in molecular biology, and I like shadowed in a cardiologist or cardiothoracics lab. And so I was really into cardiology, honestly, and I like never truly wanted to work with children. I'm going to be honest, just because it's honestly just really sad. And with cardiology, you're kind of with like the like a bit older crowd. I'm usually like over 40s. But you know, when I got the call with Dr. Stevens, I'm really glad that I ended up taking a pediatrics role. And then with soccer, yeah, I always wanted to go pro. I actually remember when I committed to Yale, I kept having this back and forth, because I was like, Yale doesn't really like send people pro like UCLA or Stanford or like FSU, you know? And so I was like, is this really the right path for me to like actually have a fighting chance to become a pro, you know? And I remember having a conversation with my coach at the time at Yale, Coach Rudy, that he was like, at the end of the day, like it is what you make it. So although we're not this big college team who always goes to the national championships and, you know, sends everyone pro, if you work hard, like you will be seen by the right people at the end of the day. And I think I was 2 years younger than Midge. And so seeing her go pro, seeing her getting called up to the national team while she was at Harvard, it just really showed that like maybe this isn't the ideal school for most people to go straight into pros, but as long as you're a hard worker, you'll be seen by the right people. So I definitely always wanted to be in the medical field and always wanted to be pro.
I love that. And you are just one of so many examples of people that do not need to take the conventional path to becoming pro, because a lot of times it's you hear these schools that just keep pumping out the pro players, and everyone wants to go to UCLA. Who the hell doesn't want to go to UCLA? But like there are just the more and more players we talk to, the more and more you realize that if you want to get there, you're going to get there regardless of the avenue that you're currently on. You can, you know, forge your way to that, which I love. But I'm curious, how do you feel like you've grown as a player from playing in college to the pros right now? Because we look back at even just think about how you were as a freshman versus how you are as a senior and the amount of growth that takes place then. So I'm just curious how you feel when you kind of look back at the player. Would you kick your butt if you were versing your 10 your sophomore year person?
Mm-hmm. Oh, 100%. I think when I was younger, it was just so pushed on me that like, Michelle, you're really, really fast. Like just use your speed. That's all you really need. Like, just like you're powerful, just use your speed, shoot the ball really hard. Like it doesn't really matter everything else. And now being in the pros, like, although I obviously still do use my speed and my strength, that's obviously really good. I wish I was honestly just on the ball way more, doing more like technical things. When I was younger, even in college, I didn't realize how much just like a good relationship with the ball can take you even further if you are fast and if you are super strong, you know? And so, yeah, I would definitely like I wish I could tell my freshman self to like just take those extra minutes after practice or before practice and just, you know, do small stuff, do dribbling, do like bells, do like cone drills, like just anything to make my relationship with the ball just like one, you know? And I feel like that's definitely somewhere I'm trying to develop in my career right now. Just having that technique really honed in, I think I'm still trying to develop.
I like that you said relationship with the ball. I think my relationship's always been one way with the soccer
ball. Right. It's not communicating.
And after practice, it makes such a difference. Like, too, when you're playing like forward or even midfield, and like all you're doing is doing shooting drills, it's only so much. How many times you shoot in the game? You need to get comfortable with the ball and have
exactly.
So, I love that. So, tell us about the national team. How long have you been with the team? Like, how did that come about?
Yeah, so I've been with the team a little over a year now. And it was honestly like, I always say this and I shouldn't, but I feel like it was just like a fluke. And I say that because like they got called up, Nigeria got called up last minute to be in the US Summer Series. The coach happened to be Randy Waldrum, who used to be the old Houston Dash coach. I'm still not on an actual contract with Houston. I'm just a practice player at this point. And I asked the then coach James if he could just throw my name to Randy and let him know that I'm a Nigerian American. I have both passports. And then I'm in Houston, if I can just like go to a training session. And for some reason, I don't know what happened, but there's like some visa issues. So they had some open spots and they needed it for the opening game. And they ended up calling me and my teammate at the time, Esther, up. So they just like, we showed up to one training and they're like, okay, like, great. What's your guys' sizes? What number do you want? And I was like, what? Like, okay. All right. This is happening. And then I remember the first game versus Jamaica. The coach was like, you guys like don't expect to play, like whatever. And we were like, okay, like sure. And then our outside back ended up getting injured. And the coach looks at me and he's like, okay, Michelle, I know you're a forward, but have you ever thought of being a fullback? And I was like, I will go and play any position right now if you throw me onto the sill. And so I got subbed in to be the right back, and ever since then I've been the right back for them. So
time out.
It just seems like
all right, we need to rewind for a second. I have so many questions from this whole group. Number one, you called it a fluke. It is not a fluke. The stars just aligned for you. Everything
the stars aligned. I like that better.
But the right back getting injured and then him looking at you as a forward and just tossing you back there, were you like shitting bricks in that moment, or were you like just so pumped?
I was so pumped. I was like, honest, I was like, I can't lose. Like, I was just like, it's not my position. I was like, I'm a forward, so all I'm really gonna do at the fullback, I was like, I'm just gonna get the ball and run like I'm a winger up the field. And I just kept doing that like every time, and they were like, wow, that girl doesn't get tired. But really, I was just like, I want to be a forward so bad. Like, I was like, let me try to prove to him that I'm a forward. That was a mistake. That was not going to happen. But so, yeah, I feel like I was just like, shoot, like, whatever. Like, a fullback is kind of just a winger that's a little further back on the field. That's what I kept telling myself. And so that's kind of why I got a little comfortable there. I couldn't really defend, I'm not going to lie. That was a little suspect. But it was really fun. I just thought like, hey, I have way more like land to like explore. While as a winger, you only really have like a little bit below the 18 and up, but like now I have like the whole half and I could just run with the ball. Like, how cool.
Yeah.
So how do you like the position now? Are you feeling like more comfortable in it?
I do. I am feeling more comfortable. I'm realizing that there definitely is a little bit of more of like a nuance to it. And it's not just, oh, you're a winger and you can just run with the ball. Because if you make that 60-yard dash, that looks great, but you didn't make sure you make the 60-yard dash back. And so I actually do really like it. And I feel like it has its benefits. And I feel like as a winger, I'm allowed to like exploit certain things a little bit more. But like I said, I need to make sure I'm still in tune with my center backs. That's my issue right now. I need to make sure my positioning's right and I'm not, you know, baiting people the right way and I'm not out of position. So I'm still kind of learning that slowly but surely. Yeah.
So cool. Did any of your friends or family go to that first game?
Yeah, my sister did. And she like just could not believe, like, she was like, wow, Michelle, you're really in your Nigerian jersey right now. And it's actually really funny because when I graduated from Yale, my senior photos, I had like the first warm-up jersey that they dropped for the World Cup, Nike, that like sold out everywhere. And I like took a photo of it and I posted it and I said, if I'm not on the Nigerian team in like 3 years, like, don't talk to me. And literally 3 years later, like, I'm a right back. Yeah.
That's amazing.
So weird.
What do you think makes this team so special? Like, what do you love about them?
The Nigerian team?
Yeah.
Oh man, just their fight. I mean, I feel like we deal with so much behind the scenes that a lot of people don't realize. And honestly, like, if if the team was a bunch of me's, I would just be like, oh, no, we're not doing this. Like, we're out. But they're just like, they have this Nigerian spirit, they call it. And they like just fight. Like, they are just fighters at the end of the day. It doesn't matter what circumstance it is. It doesn't matter if, you know, their flight came in late or, you know, we haven't been paid. They're like, we're going to fight and, you know, show everyone like what Nigeria is all about. And I love it. It's really humbling, and it makes you like work for something that's just like so much bigger than you or your name, but like for a whole country. It's really beautiful.
That's really amazing. And what are your hopes moving forward for that team?
Oh man, just to continue to build and get better. Honestly, I haven't like never really secured a spot there, but just to like every time I get called up to just like build and to just make a difference, really. Me and the other like Nigerian Americans are like the first Nigerian Americans on the team. Like, they usually only do Nigerian born. So I feel like playing with them and just like showing them this different style that they're usually not used to has been really beneficial, and hopefully like helping there be a better like line for the younger groups. But yeah, just continue to build, hopefully go to the World Cup. That'd be pretty cool. and yeah, just honestly have a good time.
It's so cool to see. I feel like it shows so much about your character, how you're saying like about the bigger picture, because with your work, with your team, your national team, like you have such a big purpose. And I think that's such a special thing that I think our followers and listeners will like really appreciate and probably inspire so many of them to do the same, because I'm sure a lot of them are not sure what to do about college, if they want to go in the medical field or what field they want to pursue, but you really can do it all. Like, it's just about going for it, just trying, shooting your shot and following your dreams, because you never know what's going to happen.
As you right, feel. Exactly. Yeah.
Guys, any more questions before we go to rapid fire? All right. Rapid fire, slow burning, you can take your time. Okay. You're stuck on a deserted island. What teammate would you bring with you and why?
Oh, Jane Campbell, for sure. And I think because she is just like so like South, like Atlanta, I'm from Georgia, like she, like nothing scares her. So I'm like, oh, I want you to defend me on this island from any creatures. I want you to build the fire for me because I don't know how to. So yeah, definitely Jane Campbell.
Keep the gators away, keep the snakes.
Yes, exactly.
Which teammate would you call to bail you out of jail?
Ooh, to bail me out of jail. Oh, probably Michaela Obam. She would do it with no questions asked. Like, if I didn't want to tell her why I was there, she'd be like, okay. And then just get me.
I love it. Who is the teammate that you can text your stream of consciousness to, the most random texts?
Stream of consciousness? Probably Tierney Wilshire. She just got added on to Houston, but oh, I'd be texting her the most random things, and she also texts it back, so it feels good. It's a mutual relationship.
Which teammate would you want to raid their closet? Best style, best clothes?
Honestly, okay, best style wise, I'll probably do Michaela Bam again. But the shoes, definitely Maria. I think Maria has like every Nike pair like that's ever been released, and it's insane.
Saw that. I think we saw she has like a wall of them. Yeah.
A whole wall. Yep.
She said she doesn't wear them, so I'm sure you can.
No, she literally doesn't wear them. She is my size. She literally only
wears selfish. It's selfish.
Air Force Ones every time. And I'm like, Maria, if you don't wear a different pair of shoes, they're slowly going to be missing. I know where you live, so.
That is so funny. Okay, if there was a reality show about one of your teammates, what, like, which teammate would it be about?
A reality show? Probably Shay Groom. And I don't even... She just is such a personality. Like, it would just be so interesting. I don't even know what it'd be about, but I can see her like being in the drama, and then like, you know, like her, like, oh, like what's going on? Like, I can totally see her just being zoned into a character. Like, I can see her being in like Keeping Up with the Kardashians, honestly.
All right, what's teammate that you'd have the easiest time just sitting down and binging an entire day of Netflix with?
Ooh, probably Michaela again. Okay, she's my roommate, so I feel like she's my go-to for a lot of these. But
it's probably multiple avenues. They can bail you out and watch
Netflix with you. Right, makes sense. Right after.
It might be the answer to this one, but which teammate would you want to go out to eat with?
Probably Allie Prysock, for sure. She loves to eat.
I need a t-shirt that says that. I live to eat, because that's literally me.
Yeah.
Wait, so when you go out to eat, what's your go-to type of food?
Sushi. Oh my gosh. We go to Raw Sushi. Like, they have like half of my credit card bill, honestly. It's so good.
The bank's like, you're spending a lot at this one place. You're like, yeah, I don't know. It's not me.
My credit card was stolen.
Yeah.
Okay, and last question. What is your biggest soccer girl problem?
Biggest soccer girl? Oh, my God. I think it's whether or not my socks should be over the knees or if I should do the shin look. And I go between, like, I'm not set yet on which one I think looks better on me or which one I play better in. But, like, one game I'll have over the knee, and then I'm like, oh, my God, I can't. Like, this is my vibe. So then I'll do the low shin guard look that, like, you know, like, Florida Gator players are, I feel like, are known for. And then I'm like, oh, that's not really me. So then I'll go right below the knee. And I'm like, Michelle, can you just
choose? You're still confused.
Like, I've been playing for how long?
I can pull the socks, oh, like, well over their knee, and like it stays there and they look cool, and like I go to do it and I look like I don't know, elf on a shelf. I look so silly.
And I am the lead third grader, like perfectly, you know,
perfectly like folded over,
yeah,
to hold the shin guard up.
Yeah. Either at least you have two cool options, so that is a good one. Thank you so much for coming on. We really appreciate it. It was so nice to get to know a little bit more about you.
Yeah, thank you guys so much for having me. This was so fun.
So, and we'll send you some gear, and hopefully we get to see you play in person soon.
Yeah, that'd be amazing.
Have a great day. Great rest of the week.
Awesome. Thanks.
Thank you.
You too, guys. Bye. Thank you. Soccer girls, you know we got some problems. So tune on in, away we talk and how to solve them. We may laugh, we may learn, we might